GOB 74. The little lady will have a sherry. Have I banged on lately about sexism in birding? It's still as prevalent as feral pigeons in Trafalgar Square. It doesn't matter that 10 years after her passing, one of the world's top 10 listeners is female. Nor that top wildlife writers, bloggers, filmmakers, conservationists and ornithologists are women. Birding is blokey. It's as orientated towards male values as motor racing, football and hiding from the wife in the shed. Women and girls are, of course, an increasing proportion of enthusiasts for sports in general. Look along the terraces at Twickenham, Wembley or your local side sports ground and female faces are far more familiar than in my youth, or even a decade or so ago. Blokiness is no longer confined to blokes, but that hasn't shifted the paradigm. Lads may not be the only ones necking too much beer or getting fighting drunk in Ipswich or Ibiza. The ladies in their lives have become laddish rather than their boyfriends becoming less boorish. Disabled people, youngsters, ethnic minorities are still less likely to be birders than white males in their 20s and 30s. And if they, like women, bird, they often adopt the outdated and outrageous attitudes that define male-dominated pastimes. I've noticed that many middle-aged birders drift away from twitching. It could be they want to find their own rarities, or that they love the solitude of patchworking, or the joy of seeing new behaviours, rather than finding new species. But my money is on them no longer enjoying the competitiveness of the sport of birding. How long is your list is, after all, a more or less exclusively male obsession. Ticks equate to notches on the bedpost or the number of cow seals a big fat male can corral into his harem. A quarter century ago, my young teenage son found and announced a rare wader we were searching for. He was ignored and the group of twitchers moved on until they found it for themselves. Women are still assumed to be along for the ride rather than equal to male birders in every respect. I know this to be true. Last December, Hawkeye and I went down to look at our hometown sea. Storms have been raging, albeit from the west, and I was hoping for some interesting birds that might take shelter along the cliff-shadowed bays of this southeastern resort. Dozens of ships had anchored offshore, sitting out the bad weather, but little seemed to be moving. A few grebes bobbed among the waves, including a nice Slavonian, but no auks, no skuas, not even a distant shearwater. They were close-in gannets and, unusual for this part of the world, they were loafing on the water. I scoped the few gannets that were diving for food in water dotted with the heads of seals. My wife shouted from the wind in the car, occasionally tapping the window to point out the growing number of brent geese on the tide line or a couple of rock pipits hopping along the car park fence. Then, in an almost unprecedented sally, she came forth and shook me to say, "Did you see the swift?" "A swift?" I half admonished. "In December, are you sure? Describe it." "Well," the patient lady said, "it had dark scimitar wings and dived rapidly over the cliff edge." She held her hands apart to demonstrate that it was too small to be a peregrine. "I'm sorry," I said, "it's just not..." And it was at this point that the swift nearly parted my hair. We watched it for 10 minutes, going so fast and close I could hardly get my bins on it. The next day's crowds were of the collective opinion that it was a pallid, although I thought it too dark on the back. But given my display of sexism, what do I know?